Good morning, Harvest. Go ahead and find your seats, as I know our kids are just kind of completing, making their way out to Children's Church. My name is Robert Pierre, and I am the worship leader, and I am also the high school youth leader here at the church. What a privilege we have, don't we? Really, to be able to gather here each week to worship together, get around and study and get to know God's Word even more. Let me just say this before we dive in and do that. We're calling next Sunday kind of our pre-launch party, okay? It's a big-time celebration because we really believe, this is a can't-miss Sunday, I'm just gonna label it like that, because we really believe that the Lord has given to us a clear vision of where He wants us to go as a church the next 2 years, and we're going to lay that out. The next 18 months, Pastor Scott's going to share about where we're going, what's happening, change is coming, we're really excited about it, and so we want you there, and we want to celebrate that with you, and then launch Sunday, we're just going to absolutely have a party, and we're going to finish it with food trucks. It's going to be great. So go ahead and get your Bibles open to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And as you're getting your Bibles open to Psalm 103, it seems like today we're getting more calls than we ever have before. Is that just me, or do you guys feel that way too? Like all these unknown numbers? Anybody feel like they're getting all these? Like I got a call the other day from Russia. I don't know anybody from Russia. Right? Or I got a call that the IRS is telling me they're suing me. I'm like, really? I think they would send me a piece of mail if that was the case, right? You know, we're getting all these weird, whether they're scam calls, telemarketers, and I don't see a lot of people agreeing with me, so you all have found that little website where you put your number in. Is that right? So I'm just by myself. I'm getting calls. You all would like to get calls from who knows who. And every time we get a call, we have a choice to make, don't we? How am I going to respond to this call? Am I going to answer it? Am I going to send it to voicemail? Am I going to click it off because I'm watching a movie or something? Am I going to send a text, hey man, can't call, but I'll call you back, right? This call could be that important news you've been waiting for. That important call, maybe it's that boy you've finally hoped is calling you, right? And you're like, I've been waiting, here it is. And maybe it's your boss. Got to answer this. Maybe it's your Uber driver. That's always an important call to answer. What if the call is like a family chatty patty? You know, you're talking to that family person, and when they talk to you, they're going to go talk to somebody else about what they talk to you. It's like, do I really want to answer this? Can I send them to voicemail, right? Maybe it's the news that you've been praying about, you've been waiting for. The results are in. Maybe it's that one person that just won't stop calling you. Over and over and over and over. Like, I don't know how many more times I can send this guy to voicemail. That was me in high school. I was the persistent caller. Many a Saturday morning was spent sitting under a basketball hoop calling my friends over and over and over, 3, 4, 7 times. Because I had this theory. I knew if I could keep the phone ringing, if they were asleep, they could hear it vibrating next to them, you know? So, hey, I need an extra guy for basketball. Are you in? Somebody's calling me now. Hey, are you in? Oh, okay, no, I'll call you back. And if they would say no, I wouldn't give up. Never give up when somebody says no. Because you could get somebody else involved. Now we've got 2, 3 people. Now I'm calling back. Hey, man, we need one more player. Are you in? Okay, good. You're in, right? When we get the call, we have a choice to make. You know, I only have one high school friend remaining today. Not really quite sure why that is. When we get so many calls, when we get called, we have a choice to make. How am I going to respond to this call? And this morning, God's word is calling us. It's calling us to something specific. And the question I have for you this morning is this: how are you going to choose to respond to the call of God's word this morning? Everyone at Psalm 103? Everyone there? Everyone have their Bibles out ready to go? If you're ready, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready. Psalm 103 is a psalm of David, so let's read this psalm in its entirety together. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind is passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Scripture's calling you this morning. Can you hear it? Bring, 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 right? It's calling to you. How will you respond to the call? Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord that he would give us ears to hear the call this morning and that he would give us hearts to receive it. So can we open just in our time in God's word with prayer? Father, you are good. Father, you are worthy of all of our praise. Father, you have done great work in our life. You've saved us. You redeemed us, Lord. You've forgiven us. We've sung of many of the awesome things, the gifts that you've given to us this morning. Father, now as we get into your word and as we hear the call of your word, Father, would you give us ears to hear it? Our Savior always said, Lord, he who has ears, let him hear. So Father, would you let us hear the word that you have this morning? Would you give us hearts to receive it, that we would answer the call of God's word? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're kind of like, well, what's scripture calling me for, right? Well, here it is. Look at verse 1, right here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord with everything you have. Bless the Lord. That's the call today. It's a call to bless the Lord. And our big idea is this simple call from God's word this morning. Here it is. With everything you have, bless the Lord. With everything that you have, bless the Lord. Not just some things, not just most, not the things that I'm just really good at, not just a handful of things that I kind of want to improve on. No, Scripture says with everything, with all that is within me, bless his holy name. How will you respond to that call today? This psalm is a personal call from David to himself. And in many ways, David is reminding himself of the truths he knows and believes. Maybe as we walk through this passage this morning, you will respond to the Lord, calling you to bless him by telling yourself what David told himself. He's like, hey, soul, right? Bless the Lord. Hey, soul, stop thinking about yourself. Stop trying to serve yourself. And bless the Lord. Hey, soul, with everything within me, bless the Lord. Maybe you're looking at verse 1 this morning and you're saying, well, what does that mean to bless the Lord? How can I really be a blessing to God, right? When I think of blessing, I think of somebody going above and beyond for me, but how do I be a blessing to the Lord? Well, the word translated to bless comes from the Hebrew word berach, meaning to bless or to praise, okay? So if we were to dive deeper into the Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament, it would give us an even more beautiful understanding of what this word berach, translated to bless, means. So according to that, okay, that to bless can have four possible meanings, all right? So here's the first one. To bless is to endue someone with special power. All right, God blessed humanity at creation and gave them special power when he said in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over it, right? Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. But that's not quite what this psalm is truly saying when it says to bless. The second meaning of to bless is to declare the object to be endued with special power, okay? So God blessed Abraham in Genesis 12:2 when he said, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. But that's not even quite what this psalm is saying. The third meaning of to bless could be to wish someone to have special power. We do this often, don't we? We do this often when we're talking on the phone, right? Maybe you were on the phone with a fellow brother or sister here at the church this week, and you ended your conversation with, hey man, it was great talking to you, God bless. We often use this when we're bidding people, you know, hello or farewell. But that's not even quite what the psalm is saying. All these three don't quite capture the full meaning of to bless in Psalm 103. So what, Robert, does it mean to bless the Lord? The fourth meaning is this. To bless the Lord is to declare God to be the source of the special power. Okay? So to bless the Lord means to declare God to be the source of the special power. That's what the psalm is saying. It's saying, bless the Lord. Declare that he is the source of all power. Bless the Lord. That's the call. How do I do that? How can I declare that? Well, we do that by praising him. That's what this psalm is saying. It's saying, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. But listen, with everything you have, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. That's our call. How will you respond to that call? This morning, I really hope to exhort you to answer that call in obedience. And so we're going to look at five reasons why we should bless the Lord. All right, five reasons why we should bless the Lord. Here's the first one. Bless the Lord. Why? Why? Because he is a generous giver. Bless the Lord because he is a generous giver. If you're taking notes on your bulletin right there, you can fill in the blanks. I'm always a person who likes getting those blanks filled in. Bless the Lord. Why? Because he is a generous giver. Look at verse 2. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. What I love most about this verse is that it sets the tone for the rest of the psalm, okay? David is saying here, don't forget, but remember all of God's benefits. Another good word for benefits could be accomplishments, right? So what he's saying is, don't forget what God has accomplished, right? Don't forget any of God's benefits. Don't forget what God has accomplished. Don't forget how God has worked in your life, because God working in your life is an amazing gift from a generous giver. Don't forget. Don't forget. Bless the Lord because he is a generous giver. Look at what he has accomplished for us. Look at what he's given us. David lists six blessings that God has given us. Look at verse 3. It says, who pardons all your iniquities. Hey, listen, the verdict's in. You've been found unanimously guilty by the jury of sin. But the righteous judge has chosen to pardon you because his son, Jesus Christ, has stepped in and took your place. Who pardons you of all, not just some, but all your iniquities. Look on, who heals all your diseases. This is more of a testimony than it really is a promise. One of my favorite commentators, Warren Wiersbe, writes this. God is able to heal every disease, but he is not obligated to do so. The believer's body will not be completely delivered from weakness and disease until it is redeemed and glorified at the return of Jesus Christ. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. Not just that he spares us from bad things, but I believe this is even future forward and looks to the resurrection from the grave because of the work of Jesus Christ. That we are no longer destined to the pit, right? We are no longer dead in our sins. Dead people go to the grave. We are no longer destined for the pit, but we have been made alive through Jesus Christ, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. Look on verse 4. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Eagles are majestic birds, aren't they? Aren't they just really cool eagles? You know what I mean? Like, when you see one on your lake, it's like, oh my gosh, there's an eagle, right? And did you know that there are 60 different species of eagle? 60. I had no idea. Go home and Google it and just be in awe of the awesome work of our Creator. Because you've got, like, the sea eagle, the golden eagle, the Madagascar fish eagle, the snake eagle, and you have the Philadelphia eagles. They're kind of an off-breed, though, like, a little over the top, the least favorite of all the eagles. Am I right? You know what I mean? But the crown jewel of all eagles truly is the bald eagle, isn't it? It's the crown jewel of all eagles, not just because it's a picture of America. Okay, maybe it is. But because it's also a picture of power and of strength and of vitality, right? Bald eagles, they represent that. And a number of years ago, Nicole and I had an opportunity to take an Alaskan cruise. And we were so excited about going there. I don't know if you've ever been to Alaska, but if you ever have an opportunity, go. It's beautiful. And you see God's creation in a new way. And so we were up there, and when our cruise line had a couple little special excursions we could take, okay, if we wanted to. And so Nicole and I began to plan out our excursions we were going to go on. And our first one, we took a helicopter up onto a glacier, and we landed in the dog sled camp. And so we got out, and we got to pet all the dogs. They were, like, super friendly and kind. And then we rode dog sleds around, and we kind of learned how it was. That was awesome. Then that night, we went whale watching, and it's not me that I'm making this up. Like, this, they said it was the best night of whale watching they've ever had. They said we saw like 30 whales, and our college girl tour guide was crying on the intercom the whole time. The captain would be like, hey, stop crying, you know, like, get it together, and it was awesome. But the one excursion that Nicole and I were so looking forward to was we were going to go airboating into a bald eagle reserve. Okay, now, we were reading the description of what this excursion would be. And you're going to airboat into a utopia for bald eagles. 200 to 400 bald eagles we were going to see. And it's like, why wouldn't we go on this tour? Who's not going to go on this tour, right? We're going to drive up in some rivers, and we're going to come to this waterfall, and all of a sudden we're going to see 400 bald eagles flying around, right? That's worth it, right? So we got up, we got on the bus, we were so ready to go. You can take the quote down. And we were getting on the bus, and we were driving, and we saw 4 bald eagles just on the drive over. It was like, if this is just the bus ride, what's the excursion going to be, right? And so it was cold, and it was wet, and it was rainy, but it didn't matter because we were going to go see bald eagles. And so we put on all these coats and ponchos and more coats and more ponchos and hats. I got a picture here you can see. And it was cold and rainy, and that's kind of how I felt. And but we jammed ourselves into this airboat. There's like 40 of us, like canned sardines, right? And we're in there, and we're driving and driving and driving, and we're going on the river, and our tour guide would never turn off his microphone. And so he'd be like, let's be quiet and see if we can hear something. I had people in front of me, turn the mic off, right? And we're just driving, we're driving, and we're driving, we're getting deeper, and we're getting deeper. And it was at that point that Nicole and I realized this utopia for bald eagles, it's not the size of the Windermere High School campus, which we thought we'd see 400 eagles flying around. No, this bald eagle reservation is 40 square miles. So needless to say, we saw more bald eagles on the bus ride over than we did freezing our wet tails off in who knows where, Alaska, where then they ended it by serving us vegetarian chili. Who serves chili without meat in it? All for just a glimpse of a bald eagle, right? Look at what Scripture says in verse 5. It says, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Eagles are often referenced in Scripture to show that a person blessed by God will not grow weak or slow down as rapidly as others. Isaiah 40:31 says this. It says, yet those who wait for the Lord, okay? Yet those who trust in the Lord, those who rely on the Lord, those whose dependence is found on the Lord, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Matthew Henry writes this, when God, by the graces and comforts of his Spirit, recovers his people from their decays and fills them with new life and joy, which is to them an earnest of eternal life and joy, then they may be said to return to the days of their youth. What this verse is saying is that God satisfies our years with good things, so that no matter how old we will become, our youth will be renewed like the eagle. What a generous gift from a generous giver. Bless the Lord because he is a generous giver. Look at verse 6. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The following portion of this psalm refers back to Exodus 32 through 34. And we don't have time this morning to dive into all the parables, but I would encourage parallels between the two, but I would encourage you to go home and do so. But it also leads us to our second reason to bless the Lord, which is this. Bless the Lord, why? Well, because he is slow to anger. Our God is slow to anger. Read on with me these beautiful words that describe our God. These are the same words God calls himself when he makes his glory pass before Moses on the mountain. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. God is slow to anger. He is slow to anger, meaning that he is patient with me. He's patient with me. Would we be a people that would emulate God in this way and be known as being slow to anger? Would we? You know, dads, how are we doing on that? How are we doing on being slow to anger with our families? You know, as a new father, I'm convicted about this recently, and just being more convicted of being slow to anger because I now realize that I have two new little eyes that are watching me and whatever I do, even when I don't realize that they might be watching me. And so I'm convicted of this because I am more aware of these two bright, beautiful eyes that are watching how I handle situations. And I remember observing my dad and how he handled situations, many involving my disobedience. But he was always slow to anger. He was slow to anger with me. He was slow to anger with other people. Not a firecracker probably like I am. He's slow to anger with others. And obviously Timothy is just a baby now, but as he grows, my hope is that he will observe that quality in me as I observed it in my dad. And ultimately, what we both have observed in our Heavenly Father and how he interacts with his children. Maybe you didn't have a positive father figure growing up. And so you might say, well, I don't have a positive example of someone who's been slow to anger with me. My dad was brutal. And what I would say here is this, you do, and it's your Heavenly Father who has been slow to anger with you when you sin. And just imagine that for a moment. Our God is slow to anger with us when we sin. Let's just step back for the message just for a second. And let's talk about that. Because the manner in which we should behave, the manner in which I should behave, should reflect my Creator who is slow to anger when I sin, who shows me mercy when I sin. Imagine how our sin must make God feel. Given all that he's done for us, given all that he's given to us, he sacrificed his own son because I was sinful. And so the innocent became guilty so that the guilty could become innocent. That's slow to anger. That's mercy. That is mercy that God has shown us. After all he's done for me, yet God is slow to anger and compassionate in his mercy. I think being slow to anger is ultimately a picture of God's mercy. And you know, we talk about the difference between grace and mercy. Grace is when we are given something we don't deserve, right? But mercy is when we are withheld something that we do deserve. Maybe you're saying, well, how does God show me mercy, right? How does God show us mercy? Look at verse 10. It's right here. It's plain as day. It says, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Underline this verse. Highlight this verse. Circle this verse. Underline this verse again. This is God's mercy to you, church. That God has not rewarded or dealt with us according to what our sin deserves. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Because what does my sin deserve? What does your sin deserve? Here it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Our sin has earned spiritual death and an eternity spent in the lake of fire. But, even though that's what my sin has earned, but, Romans goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's given me a free gift so that I don't have to be dead? I don't have to have spiritual death? What is that gift? Well, look what it says in Romans 5. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God's free gift to you is that you have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. See, because our sin separates us from God, okay? Our sin creates a chasm too great to cross between us and God. But because of the work of Jesus Christ, he has filled in that gap. He has bridged that gap. He has reconciled us back to God in light of the fact that we have sinned. That's amazing. And for those who follow Jesus Christ, this is yet another reason to bless the Lord. Look what he's done for us. Look at his mercy he's given us. Our God is slow to anger. So bless the Lord. How will you respond to that call this morning? You know, maybe what you're hearing this morning is all new to you. Maybe you've come into here and you're hearing a call for the first time in your life, but the call to you is to receive this free gift of God. Before we can bless the Lord, before you can bless the Lord, you are being called to respond and to receive God's free gift. Well, how do I do that? How can I? I see that I need this. I see that it's worth it. I see that there is a distance between me and God. How can I bridge that gap? How can I receive God's free gift? It's right here. Scripture tells us that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Listen, God has forgiven you of your sin. So repent of it and respond to the call of salvation by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Embrace him by faith. Don't wait on this call. Don't send this call to voicemail. Well, I can get back to that. I'll hear what God has to say when I want to listen to it then. Don't wait on this call, but respond to this call and confess Jesus as Lord of your life today, right now. Don't wait. And maybe if you're still wrestling through this call this morning and you'd want some people to talk to, we're going to have a few men and women up front here at the stage at the end of the service who would love to discuss with you further what it means to follow and believe and put your faith in Jesus Christ. So don't leave today without responding to that call. Because God is merciful to us in that he has forgiven us of our sin, and it's our third reason to bless him. Bless the Lord, why? Because he is a gracious forgiver. He is a gracious forgiver. With everything you have, bless the Lord because he is a gracious forgiver. God showed us mercy by extending us forgiveness, but God's forgiveness is an act of his grace. He is a gracious forgiver. We don't deserve it, right? We don't deserve forgiveness. We didn't earn God's forgiveness. Listen, don't get this thought in your head. There is nothing you can do to earn God's forgiveness. If it was up to us, we would fall short 100 times out of 100. But God has given you forgiveness because of his grace. And he's given it to you only through faith in Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Look back at verse 10. Because he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I love that in verse 12. I love it where it says that God has removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is to the west. You know what this is saying? What it's saying is God has removed your sin too great a distance to measure. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen? Men, do we believe that? Are we thankful for that this morning? That God is a gracious and a generous giver? And that he has taken our sin too great a distance for us to even imagine. Look at verse 13. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Why is God doing all this? Why does he give us all this? Why is he slow to anger with me? Our fourth reason to bless the Lord is this. Bless the Lord because he is a compassionate father. Bless the Lord. Why? Bless the Lord with everything you have. Why? Because he is a compassionate father. God is compassionate towards those who fear him. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? Yes, God is generous, and he's gracious, and he's kind, and he's compassionate, and he's slow to anger, and he's quick to forgive. But God's also just, and he's also righteous, and he's also sovereign, and he's also holy. We are not. We are not. Do you fear the Lord? See, because a fear of the Lord should be displayed in our actions. Our actions should display a fear of the Lord. A fear of the Lord ought to produce within us godly living, right? It should produce an obedience to the Lord and what he commands. A fear of the Lord should also change how we view our life, how we view our circumstances. Amir said this last week, didn't he? He said that if you fear the Lord, you should have fewer fears in your life. So do you fear the Lord this morning? You see, because God's not like us. He's separate from us. He's greater than us. We were created in his image, but we are not like God. Scripture says multiple times, there is no one like our God. He's our creator. Look at verse 14. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, listen, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. God is not like us. Our earthly lives may seem important, but they are temporary and will soon be forgotten once we are gone. Let me illustrate this by asking a question. Who is Grover Cleveland? A lot of you guys got that pretty quick. Why was he important? What made his presidency important? What was unique about him as a president? Maybe some of you are like, oh, I kind of just whispered along with the guy next to me who knew who Grover Cleveland was, right? Grover Cleveland was an interesting president. Grover Cleveland is the only United States president to have won two presidential terms non-consecutively. Okay, so Grover Cleveland won, they liked him, then kind of at the end they went, I don't know if this guy is worth it. So they brought in somebody else, and then he was president for a while, and at the end they're like, this guy's way worse than Grover, let's go back to Grover, and they brought Grover back in for a second term, okay? But the other cool thing about Grover Cleveland's, I'm a history buff, the other cool thing about Grover Cleveland's presidency is that he is the only president to be married in the White House. Kind of interesting. Who would honestly, I mean, show of hands, who would honestly say they knew that name when we said it? Yeah, a few of you. Maybe some of you confused it with the famous Cleveland Indians pitcher too. Grover Cleveland. Better yet, can anyone name all the U.S. presidents in order? See, we've got Washington and Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Adams, Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Polk, Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, Lincoln, Johnson, Grant, Hayes, Garfield, Arthur, Cleveland, Harrison, Cleveland again, Roosevelt, Taft, Wilson, Hardin, Coolidge, Hoover, Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, here we go, now I'm making sense, Bush and Clinton, Bush, Obama, and now we have Donald J. Trump, right? Yeah. For America, for the presidents. Those are pretty important positions. Yet, as we go through all of them, there are a lot of names that have been forgotten, haven't they? Like Grover Cleveland, at the mention of their names, they've been forgotten. But God is not like that. God is not like that. At the name of Jesus, Scripture says, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. See, man's life is transient. It's like the Kansas song, Dust in the Wind, right? Dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind, right? Our lives are transient, and though our lives are fleeting, God cares about them. He cares about your life. Though we're just mere dust, God cares for you and what you're going through and what concerns you. He cares for you. He is a compassionate father, and he knows his children. Our God knows our frame. Our God formed us from dust. Our God knit us together in our mother's womb. You've never left God's sight because God is a compassionate father. And here's how his compassion is given to us. Look at verse 17. It says, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. In Mary's Magnificat, where she rejoiced in receiving the news that she would be carrying the Messiah, she quotes verse 17 when it says, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. God's compassion can be seen through his loving kindness. What do you mean by that? What's significant about God's loving kindness? Romans 2 tells us that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. God shows us compassion in that it's his loving kindness that leads us to repentance. What does that mean? What does it mean to repent? It means that repentance is this. Repentance is when I make a turn and I leave behind my sin, my past struggles, what I felt was important in the flesh. I make a turn from that. I leave that behind. I do not return to that. And instead, I pursue and embrace Jesus Christ through faith. Have you truly this morning repented and turned from your sin? It's God's compassion that draws us to repentance. But we need to choose not to sin because sin is a choice. See, God is eternal, and he wants to share his eternal home with us. And in order to do so, he draws us to repentance, to turning away from our sin and embracing Jesus Christ through faith. Have you ever done that before? Because that is God's compassion to us. So bless the Lord, because he is a compassionate Father. Listen, church, with everything you have, bless the Lord. With everything you have, bless the Lord. Why? Because he is a generous giver. Because he is slow to anger. Bless the Lord. Why? Because he is a gracious forgiver. Bless the Lord. Why? Because he is a compassionate Father. And finally, bless the Lord because he is worthy of it. He is worthy of your blessing this morning. Bless the Lord because he is worthy of it. Look at verse 19. It says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. God is not like us. God is ruling and reigning. He is sovereign over all. Nothing escapes his sight. Nothing is too great for his grasp. His throne is established in the heavens. So bless the Lord, church. Bless the Lord, because there is no one else worthy of your blessing. So bless the Lord, because he is worthy of it. Can you hear Scripture's call today? Can you hear it? How are you going to respond to it? Well, maybe you feel like this call isn't for you. Maybe you're sitting there saying, well, I kind of think God just dialed the wrong number this morning. This call isn't for me. I think this is nice. It's a nice message. Bless the Lord. Whoop. But this call is not for me. Well, if that's you this morning, look at how David ends this psalm. David calls out to four things to bless the Lord, and here they are. Look at verse 20. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength to perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. He starts by calling out the two things. First, to the angels who perform God's word. And we know that there are angels right now who surround the throne, and they are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty. And they are blessing the Lord as we are called to do today. He also calls out to the armies of God, to the Lord of hosts, right? To all you his hosts. One of God's names is the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies. And David knew this because it was the name that Goliath mocked before David took out his head. Bless the Lord. Look on. Well, I'm not an angel. I'm not an angel. Well, hold on. I'm not done, and neither is David. Look at verse 22. It says, bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord to all of his works in all his dominion. Listen, that's you and me. That's you and me, because Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Listen, we are all this morning called to bless the Lord. And finally, he reminds his own soul to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Might I suggest to you that right now, maybe you need to have a conversation with your own soul. Hey, soul, listen up. It's time we bless the Lord. It's time we bless the Lord. It's time to lay aside whatever those things are that are distracting to us. Time to lay aside those pursuits that leave us empty. It's time to lay aside anything that is getting in the way of me blessing the Lord. And with everything I have, bless the Lord. Scripture's call is ringing loud this morning. Can you hear it? It says, with everything we have, bless the Lord. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And you know what? Maybe that call this morning is ringing loud in your heart and you are ready to respond. And you're like, I'm fired up. Let's do this. Let's answer the call. Let's bless the Lord with everything you have. And don't worry, we're going to do that in a moment. And this place is going to be so loud because we are going to bless the Lord in a new way than we ever have before. We're going to do it with excitement. We're going to do it with passion. And we're going to do it with fervor, knowing and not forgetting any of God's benefits. Maybe your heart this morning has been flipped to vibrate. And you know God is calling you, but you're trying to keep it quiet, trying to silence it. You can feel it going off. You can feel it vibrating. But maybe you're saying, I'm too busy to answer this call right now. This can wait. You're saying, I don't know how other people would think about me, how they would think about me as I try to answer this call, so their opinion's more important than God's. This call can wait. You don't want to answer the call, however, you can still feel it vibrating in your chest this morning. Trying to drown it out, block it out, but it's there. And if that's you this morning, let me implore you. This is worth it. God is worth it. He will satisfy your years with good things. That your youth will be renewed like the eagle. He's worth it. He's worth all of it. Whatever's holding you back, lay it aside. Whatever's in the way, lay it aside. Whatever is distracting you, lay it aside and come and bless the Lord with everything you have. Everything you have is a gift from a generous giver. To bless God is to declare God to be the source of all power, and we do that through praise. Let's do that right now. It's time, church. It's time to respond to the call. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to bless the Lord. So let's respond to the call this morning in obedience. And with everything we have, let's bless the Lord. Let me pray. God, you are worthy of everything that we have. Everything that we have is a gift from you, God. You are so good to us. You are so great to us, Father. You are a generous giver. Father, you have been slow to anger with our sin. Father, you are a gracious forgiver. You are a compassionate Father. And Lord, there is no one else who is worthy of our praise than you today. And so we love you and we lift high your name above it all. Let us bless the Lord together in Jesus' name. Come on.